So I'll call the meeting to order and let's go with a roll call, please.
Okay, Ron Sherman.
Present.
Dan Lauber.
Present.
Debbie Frederick.
Present.
Jim Flanagan.
Present.
Lydia Manning.
I'm here.
Barbara Merle. Helen Kwan.
I'm here.
And Chairperson Vasquez.
Here, thank you. So is there anybody, and I'm looking also at participants, did anybody sign up for a public comment and or submit public comments, Sarah?
No.
No, okay. All right, then let's go with the first item on the agenda is the approval of the last meeting on June the 23rd. It was in the board packet. I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes for June 23rd.
Motion to approve.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, is there any discussion or proposed changes or anything along the lines from anyone?
Is there any way that my memo that I sent about housing could be attached to the minutes?
Sure. Yeah, I guess because it went out. Is that okay, Sarah? Can we?
Talking about the one that you sent today.
Oh,
a couple of weeks ago, week or two ago, or three.
I mean, we can certainly do that.
Well, yeah, I just want it on the record. I'm not pushing it. I just want it on the record. That's all.
Okay. Was that, Dan, was that the memo you submitted for the last meeting when you were, not the one with that we didn't have a quorum, the one for the 23rd is what I'm.
It was dated May 31st.
Okay.
So dated June 1st.
Okay. So we can attach it, Sarah. Is there anybody else? I guess I'm wondering if any other committee members submitted something, we can attach it as part of the minutes as well. It's not just for Dan. We can have a record of everybody's submission. And maybe it won't apply so much for June the 23rd, but for today's minutes, I know we had something from Dan and some other, Morrell and Sherman regarding rules. If you want those proposals as part of it, we can attach it as well as part of the minutes for today's meeting. Okay?
Yeah, please do.
Vote? Do we need to vote to attach those or no?
Well, that's a very good question because if people are considering it as part of the discussions today, which we are, I think we can just attach them. And then we're gonna be voting on these minutes at the next board meeting with the attachment, so. Okay, so I think that's why I was asking Dan, just to be clear on it, the date of his memo, because it had to precede the June 23rd if we're attaching it to that, to those board minutes. So, okay, other than we'll attach Dan's June 1st memo to the last minutes, is there anything else or further discussion or modifications? If not, let's call the vote to approve the minutes with Dan's memo.
Ron Sherman.
Approve.
Dan Lauber.
Aye.
Debbie Frederick.
Yes.
Jim Flanagan.
Yes.
Lydia Manning.
Yes.
Barbara Merle. Yes. Helen Kwan.
Yes.
And Chairperson Vasquez.
Yes. Okay. The next agenda item is the any updates on the Lydia and the Dimension Friendly River Forest Group?
I actually had the pleasure of speaking with Helen earlier today, as well as Pam Mann. And we are planning to revitalize the action team probably next month. We'll have a convening meeting once again to take everybody's temperature to figure out who still wants to be involved and maybe set a clear agenda for what it looks like moving forward. When I spoke with Pam earlier today, she had again suggested the idea of pulling Oak Park and River Forest together, respecting each village's different approach to dementia-friendly, but also being really cognizant that there are only so many people who operate in both worlds and have time. So we will be figuring out how to work with Oak Park in a way that feels efficient.
We have a problem.
Moving forward.
Okay, does anybody have any questions? If not, then let's move on to the old business. And this is a discussions regarding the survey. So, and just a brief recap in terms of, so we have the appropriate submissions. I know Barb Morrell submitted her written comments. And also Ron Sherman submitted his, Jim submitted a courtesy revised, spreadsheet that Liddy had, but he now revised it to include at least the questions that we started working with. And I know, that Jim also added in, it appears, and this is added in all the demographic or questions relating to the pending questions, which I believe he highlighted in yellow. And I know Sarah added the sheet that we had from the previous meeting where we were logging in and revising the questions as we went about. So I think, and I'm asking the group, to let me know, do we have everything before us for today, or are we missing something before we even start discussing? Okay, all right. And this is relates to the survey. I was going to just ask Jim, am I correct, or Jim, do you want to explain what you did in preparing your the revision you did on the survey in terms of just the what you included on there or not, just to make sure.
Sure. Took the everything that the committee under each category that we had gone through and agreed upon and put it in the format of the totally agree, disagree. Okay. And then really tried to move towards the bottom of the survey just for illustration purposes, really the items for discussion, and they're in yellow. So it's mainly housing and demographics. And then there's obviously there's some language tweaking that we could do. Okay. But it identifies that basically we're down to this financial situation and housing part, and then the demographics.
Okay, and let me ask Dan, did you get a chance to look at Jim's document? And is there any of the highlighted items that right now, not to get into the content, but just to make sure that all the questions that were left that you have are in this document. I guess ultimately I want to be able to say, can we work from Jim's revised document if it has all the questions that we need to talk about?
Yeah, I think Jim did a terrific job putting this together.
Okay.
And my hat is off to him. I think we've got everything in here. I have some questions about this when we get to that.
Okay.
And I should tell you, both my wife and I did take the survey. I completed it in less than 5 minutes. She took 6 minutes and 20 seconds. Okay. And just the one overall comment, I think that Barbara's comments were very helpful, and I would agree with a lot of them. And I think there's just one big thing missing. Well, there's a couple of things. One, we still have to add some prefatory language to certain parts of it.
Right.
But what's struck both my wife and me is key thing that's missing is the choice of, I don't know. Unless it's intended that neutral be the choice you use for I don't know, in which case we have to tell people that. There are a lot of these questions where, quite honestly, We just don't know. And I think we're going to run into that when we test it. But otherwise, I think Jim did a terrific job putting this together.
Okay. All right, then. Then let's, and anybody else have any comments before we start into the details of it?
I have one comment.
Go ahead.
And this is just, it's an overall thing that I was thrown by the totally instead of strongly. Can you speak just a little closer to the mic? I was kind of thrown by the extremes where it said totally disagree or totally agree. It was too totalizing to me, and I like strongly better, and I think that's more conventional.
No, I think that was a good comment. And Barbara, that was for the whole document, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good point.
I agree.
Okay. Yeah. Is everyone okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll just reflect to substitute totally with strongly and whether it's agree or disagree. Okay. All right. That's an overall comment. Then is there any other overall comments like this, the similar to this that we can approach before we get into the real meat of individual questions?
Let's go for it.
All right. Okay. Well, and we can come back to this, but it looks like I almost want to start at the financial situation and dealing with the highlighted question. So let's go towards the financial situation, and it looks like we are comfortable, at least for now, 35, 36. The first one is the 37. Property taxes are a significant factor in my or our ability to remain in River Forest.
So, hey, Rez, I can do a screen share if we want to do that again.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said I can do a screen share if we'd like.
Oh, okay. That'd be perfect. Thank you. I forgot. And Helen, if you have, because Helen's calling in, she's not looking at Zoom. Yeah. So Helen, it's the sheet that that you just referenced. Instead of totally disagree, total agree, it's that document. And if you flow all the way, okay, great, all right.
Thanks, Fred.
You're welcome. All right. Okay, so what we're looking at now is that question number 37. Property taxes are a significant factor. There we go. In our ability to remain in River Forest. And should it be in? Should it be revised? Should that's what's up for discussion.
Personally, I think it goes.
If we go based on the criteria of what can the committee or the village government do about it, I would say based on that criteria, I would eliminate it.
I would also add that it's captured at some level in question 36.
Oh, good point. Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Would it make?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
I'm wondering if, when you say housing costs, I don't know if people are going to recognize the property tax. Would it make sense to say I can easily meet my monthly housing and property tax costs?
Or housing costs, including property taxes? Property tax?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Okay.
It's just property tax, doesn't have to be taxes.
Okay. Okay, then we can delete 37.
Mm-hmm. I'll clean it up.
Okay. Okay, then we're moving now into the housing section. 38, 39, looks like that was accepted. Next, the first for discussion, it'd be number 40. I want to stay in my current residence as I age.
Yeah, I think that was marked because it's similar to
44.
Question we have later on as well, about how long you want to live in your current house. And I think that I was thinking about that. I realized if we were asking how long people want to actually live there, that gives us finer detail and a better idea of what people's desires. You know, we can say, I want to live in my current residence as I age, but if we have an idea how long people want to live there, that really gives us more information that could help us the village craft policy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if we keep the question in about how long you want to continue to stay in your current residence, then number 40 could go.
Okay. Okay, so just to play devil's advocate, for number 40, if I were to answer no, then we need an option to say we'll skip 44 through 47.
No.
Who said no? And just so
I'm sorry, I said no. It's Barbara, because you might okay. not want to stay in your current residence, but you want to. It's important to stay in River Forest someplace, and you might not want to stay very long, but you still might modify your house for immediate needs. So I don't think that those are exclusive.
Okay.
I mean, let's say that you have a partner who needs care and needs modification to the home, and you know that that partner is eventually going to have to go into assisted living. You might not stay in your home when you age, but you want to stay in River Forest, and you're willing to do those things to your house right now to extend the time your partner can be there.
And I guess let me ask you this, Barb. I know there's a difference, but is 44 a little more encompassing, meaning it is important for me to age in River Forest? Wouldn't that include your current resident or no?
I'd say your current resident is a subset of that.
Okay.
I think they sound perhaps similar, but given that there is quite a discussion about aging in place versus aging in community, and I'm about Brad's presentation from the very beginning, it might, even though they may seem too similar, I do think they get different desires and future goals.
Okay. And Dan, can you said 40 was similar to some other question?
Yeah, we have the
given your druthers, how long do you want to stay in River Forest?
And how much longer do you want to continue to live in your current home? And how much longer do you want to continue to live in River Forest? So those two questions give us more granular, detailed information, which I think could have an effect on how the village crafts policy.
What happens then if we struck 40, kept those questions, and just eliminated the given your druthers and just started them, how much longer do you want to continue to live in River Forest?
That's fine. I would just
add, I like that.
Yeah, I would also add in the answers, think about this. I it struck me as I was doing the survey, I'd like to be able to have answered as long as I can. So I think that might be something to consider as another answer. And when we actually do the survey, the answers have to be in a single column for respondents' convenience, I think.
All Okay, so am I hearing this correctly? We would strike 40 and then keep the two given your druthers questions. Would you, one being how long would you like to live in your River Forest home and how long would you like to continue to live in River Forest? Is that, yes, okay. I'm assuming it sounds like I'm seeing some nods head yes.
Well, okay. I'm still, let's go
on. Okay.
I'm still okay. Wondering about the word druthers.
No, okay. I thought we eliminated given your druthers. We just start them out. How much longer do you wish to continue to live in River Forest?
Okay.
How much longer would you like to live in your current River Forest home?
Okay.
And then I think given that, we could also maybe eliminate 44. If we're going to ask how much longer you wish to continue to live in River Forest.
Right. What about the one that says, how long do you plan on staying in River Forest? Isn't that repetitive? Plus it's missing the 15 to 20 years.
Right.
I think it's repetitive, yes. Barbara, we can barely hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to look at it and I'm not talking to my mic.
It would be easier to sit up there.
No, because I have to be close. I can't see anything. Okay, I'll turn to the mic when I talk from now.
Okay. So can you, Barb, can you repeat what you just last said?
I think that Sarah just deleted what I had said. I mean,
it's already
deletion for what I had said. I thought it could be deleted. Didn't you, Sarah?
I think so. I think it was this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get rid of that one.
Okay.
We are missing the, it goes from 10 to 15 years and then 20 plus years. We're missing a 15 to 20 year slot.
Yeah, that'll get fixed. Question, actually, you know, now that this may surprise you, but now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not so sure we should be eliminating 44. It is important for me to age in River Forest. I think that might be of some considerable help to know.
Well,
it's not like we've got a time issue in filling out the survey.
But okay, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm just asking the question, but I thought if we kept how much longer do you wish to continue in River Forest, wouldn't that be addressing that 44?
No, there are different questions, really.
Okay.
I mean, it could be very important to continue to live in River Forest, but they might think they can only afford be able to live here another 5 or 10 years. So it's a little bit different question.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with 44.
Okay.
I do think, you know, it's really gauging importance to people. It's kind of what do you value? Type of question, whereas the others are more quantitative. They want to know, we want to know numerically what you're thinking.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we're deleting 40, we're keeping 44, and then we're now at 45.
Barbara, you had some comments for this area.
I don't have them in front of me and I don't remember them anymore.
I think it was on
my computer with me here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it was on 46.
Yeah, she had said, I don't see much difference here for reducing the number of questions. I go with the second statement. He had caregiver space as another one of the examples. And
yeah.
Right. Right.
I don't know. I think part of the problem we've got with this is I don't think most people are going to, it's going to be hard for people to understand the question unless we refine it a bit. I don't think they're necessarily going to know what an in-law suite is or freestanding small dwelling unit.
No. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the term granny flat is, you know, more well known. And maybe we might even want to say accessory dwelling unit. I don't know. We got to use terms that people know, and I just don't know what they'll know. I guess we'll find out when we test the survey.
Personally, I had never heard of Granny Flat before. Okay. So, I mean, for what it's worth. But I get it now that you say it, but.
I know what an in-law is, but I didn't really hear of a Granny Flat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd never heard of in-law suite before.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Because really, who wants their in-laws living with them?
Well,
are we talking about the same thing, though, in 45 and 46, which is a separate living space?
I would consider modifying the property, create a designated space for the hotel.
We're talking about accessory dwelling units, which could either be a freestanding, you know, a coach house above a garage, or an addition to the main dwelling structure.
What do we want to know in terms of what their modification issues are? Like, I see two categories. I'd modify for an extra space to help somebody else live there, or I'd modify for accessibility. Those are the two big ones that I see for aging adults. And I don't think we have to nitpick of what, you know, do we, I guess I'm asking, are there different zoning things?
Yes, there are. And
yeah.
You're raising
okay, so that's why we need to point. Ask it, right?
Right.
So you're raising an excellent point. Good. So, for instance, in our house here, there's no way we can create a separate living unit. I can't build a separate freestanding thing in our backyard. But I could create a designated space for somebody, another adult to cohabit. Whether it's a caregiver or another roommate.
Right. Okay, so maybe the good word there is cohabit.
I would consider modifying.
That's not really what we're talking about. I mean, we're talking about accessory dwelling units, right?
And one of the questions we are, but the other one we're talking about a separate place within your home.
Well, listen, why don't we okay, you know, I assume we are going to test this once or twice on, you know, 10 people or so, and I think we'll be able to find out from them if they understand what we're talking about.
Doesn't the code already permit you to have separate space within your residence for family members, you know, they're related, as yes. long as it's within, you know, within the building, as long as you're permitted and, you know, there's nothing stopping you from putting four kitchens in your house if you want.
That's correct.
So
I'm not sure you can have multiple. I don't think in a single family district you can put in additional kitchens. You can have one dwelling unit, period, in a structure.
Dan, I'm not sure that's true, but I'm not an expert on the zoning thing stuff. So
yeah, it's single dwelling units in single family districts, honest.
So what about if we kept 45 and 46? Got rid of 47 for now and see how the test goes.
Okay,
I would agree with that.
Or, you know, I mean, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Because Dan, you're right, we're going to test it.
I don't think I follow the reasoning there. Isn't that asking something different if you would modify your house with those things and whether you'd be willing to be a resident in one of those things?
You know, why don't we
So it's kind of like supply and demand, isn't it? So if you make the supply, you're making it available. Don't we want to know if there's a demand for it?
Yeah, why don't we just leave it in and see what the test shows us?
Okay. No.
All right.
In number 45, where it asks for refers to a caregiver or a boarder, isn't 46 talking about a boarder?
45 is talking about modifying the property. 46 is about creating a separate space, like the coach house or the accessory dwelling unit.
Okay, all right. Because the boarder and caregiver to me aren't the same thing, but I guess for this purpose, there is this one of the same.
No, you're right, Deborah. They're not the same.
Yeah, they're not the same.
It's still cohabitation.
Okay.
And I think 45 both implies that you would be doing that in service of yourself rather than someone else, right? 46 is about caring.
Okay.
Yeah, good point.
Okay. So we're talking about leaving 45, 46, and 47.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, then that takes us then to the demographics. The first one is what is your age? I think can we all agree? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
My only question is, are we comfortable saying chronologically 50 and over is who we want to ask? Or I know at one point we talked about trying to capture so I don't know, is it 45? I mean, or 40? I don't know. If we're looking at, you know, what things will look like when 45 sure. or 65 in 20 years, I don't know.
So, Lydia, what kind of scale would you do then? Like 45 to 55 or?
I think 10-year decades are fine. My question was maybe if we wanted to capture a bit younger crowd.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Just do, you know, 40 to 49 or something.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that may be affected by how we generate our sample.
Right.
It's dependent really on the data that Sarah put together for us, data sources. So that may have an effect on us, but there's no reason not to leave it in now for the sample, for the test.
So we're going to insert the range of 40, 49 is what I'm hearing. Am I correct or?
If we can, when we sample.
Okay. Shouldn't we be consistent?
I'm just wondering about the people taking that. I mean, that's my kids and they have kids and this would be a weird survey for them to take.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you as a 43-year-old, and granted I might be biased, but in my own home renovation, these questions were very forward-thinking in my brain space.
You're a gerontologist.
I know, but I also live with my own needs for modification. So you might be there, you might capture people who are thinking about modifying too for ability.
Well, and both of my neighbors on either sides are in their mid-40s, and both of them are having one parent move in with them in the next month.
Really?
So, yeah. And they're younger than me because I'm only 69.
Wow.
Damn, you're a kid.
I am a kid.
Wow.
Okay. So, yeah. Lydia, I like your idea to drop it down to 40, and let's see what we get.
Yeah, but the category should be consistent.
Right, right.
Yeah, well, yeah, we can fix that, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So are we then okay with the 40 to 49 category?
Yeah.
And then we'll just make the rest of the category.
50 to 50, right.
Okay. All right. And Sarah, never mind. She already included it. Okay. All right. Next question relates to, do you own or rent? Yes or
it's
no?
Okay.
Then that's fine. Okay. All
it's
right.
Fine. Yeah.
Okay. The next question is, which type of home do you currently live in? And then the options for them to select.
Mm-hmm. Doing the survey, the questions later, they asked about what you would like to live in. I realized for the purposes of the village being able to establish policy, with single family houses, we're really talking about two different types of single family houses. Those are multi-story and those are single story. And I think it might be very prudent for us to put in single-story single-family house and multi-story single-family house.
Two-story plus.
Yeah, two or more story single-family house.
Okay.
That really will have some effect on what can be done. So you'd put another line in there. You wouldn't put it next to each other.
Yeah, I'll modify
it. You'll fix it, I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, not to freak anyone out, but there actually are, there's at least one coach house in River Forest on Oak.
Okay.
That's been existed for years.
Because there's also assisted living now in River Forest too.
Yeah.
Okay. So
can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Move into the next question. If you were to take, do you use a caregiver and add caregiver as a choice to who, with whom do you live, and do a check all that apply? So I could live with, if mm-hmm. it'll capture the caregiver and a spouse or a roommate and a caregiver or just a caregiver. Does that make sense?
I like that.
I like that too.
Yes, but do we care about if people are using formal caregivers who don't live with them? Like, is that a question to gauge?
I think in this context, it's tough to drill down to that. You know, I think this would capture
that, though. I mean, if you don't have a caregiver who lives there, but you answer yes, I do use a caregiver, doesn't that tell us that?
Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah,
I'd say keep both questions.
Oh.
And this also isn't a circle. You got to change circle one to check all that apply. And my favorite one, though, was alive with child. Yeah, I like that one.
Alive with child.
Is that to imply that all the others were actually dead?
Yeah.
Dead with spouse?
With the child. It's the exertion of having a child.
Right.
And then is the reference to caregiver part of the friend, roommate, / caregiver? Right, okay. Or caregiver, that's fine too.
I'll fix the formatting.
Okay, all right. And so if we insert caregiver with whom you live and check all apply, we delete, do you use a caregiver?
No, I think we should keep it. You might not live with a caregiver, but you might use one.
Oh,
I see.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, okay.
Well, would you want to be more specific and say, do you use a caregiver who doesn't live with you?
Well, we've always asked,
oh, we'll be able to
ask
Dan
if they live with
them. Right, by the chance.
Okay.
Or we could say, do you use a daytime caregiver?
No. You might use a nighttime that doesn't live with you.
Yeah, well, that's what my dad did.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe just, do you use a caregiver?
Okay.
Not to
go ahead.
Well, I have a question about, I thought of it earlier, and I just, for whatever reason, Helen and I were talking about it this morning, because Dementia Friendly is a part of what happens in the village. Is there a way to embed a question here about whether or not that's of value to people if they're thinking about being in an age-friendly community? Is it important that the community is dementia-friendly as well? I don't know where that would get asked and if it's appropriate, but I do think it might be something to consider.
You know, Lydia, I like that concept, but I'm not sure that using the phrase dementia-friendly is gonna resonate with anybody.
Right, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's a way to ask it where, I just have a feeling that as we move forward with an age-friendly plan, that we're gonna really need to consider having dementia-friendly be a subset of that. And it would be great to have some data to capture it if we can. even if it's one or
two. What if we went back up to like the social participation and said
something? Maybe we could add it up there.
This is make a statement that's important to me and you can strongly disagree to strongly disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And then like community support and services.
For people living with dementia.
Okay.
Community support and services.
Yeah, I think.
Would it go there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
So maybe we can not worry about numbering, but a question about it is, and I use.
I use or I need?
Well, no, I just was looking at the other questions. I know, yeah. I use. It is important to me that my community is friendly to people living with dementia.
That's a tough one. That's like American.
That's a really tough one. Who's going to say no? Because who's going to answer that in the positive?
Well, I mean, is there a way to capture? I mean, you might be surprised. People might not really care. You know what I mean? Like, there's.
Let's put in the test, Lydia.
My community is. Okay. Or addresses the
need. Leave it and let it test.
Yeah, and instead of the community, I'd say River Forest.
Right.
But that's the pattern we've been using.
Instead of my community, River Forest.
Or maybe even instead of friendly, we say accessible or something, I don't know.
Right.
Okay.
How about is supportive of people living with dementia?
Yeah, that's fine. I think just to kind of plant a seed.
We'll see what else.
How about saying River Forest Services support people living with dementia?
Well, I think given Dementia Friendly is village-wide, like businesses, organizations, restaurants, you know, all sectors, I think keeping it largely River Forest at large might be important.
Yeah, I think it's fine as it stands.
Is there some way to mark these as test questions?
I didn't hear that. Mark them what?
To mark them as test questions?
Everything's being tested.
Yeah.
Well, good point, Dan. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I know.
Okay. I've just gotten an alert that I have to leave in about 5 minutes. So I just want to remind you, I think it'd be very prudent for us to add an answer column of don't know, or else in the instructions, tell people if you don't know, choose neutral. But one of those two things is kind of critical. I'm not sure about why we have the pension question.
Can eliminate that.
And do you know approximately how much it costs a month to live in your current home? My wife said, why are we asking that if people know? No. I think she's got may have a valid point. And then in the two questions about how long you'd like to live in your current home and how long you'd like to continue to live in River Forest, I just like to suggest adding a choice of as long as I am able, something along those lines to capture that. And then on the question of what type of home would you like to move to next, I think we need to have both the single family house, one story, and single family house, two or more stories. And that's all I've got to suggest there. There's a couple of wording things that no reason to get into right now. But again, I think Jim just did I know Jim wants to argue with me, but you really did a great job with this.
Thank you, Dan.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I will come back when the meeting's done. Hopefully you guys will be long gone before then.
I'm going to leave now and drive Dan to his meeting in Evanston.
Oh, good. Thank you. And actually, I'm using the transporter beam.
Okay.
Scotty's helping me. And with those rules, I just edited them so that they could be understandable. Yeah. There was one of them in there that I broke into several sentences that I had no idea what it meant. I hope that I changed.
Okay. Well, Dan, the only
understandable.
The only one I was going to disagree with you is the very last one where you added no less than 5 minutes. I was going to change no more than 5 minutes because I don't want people to keep talking and talking. And they, you know, I, you know, most
I just put that in so that they'd have 5 minutes, but there may be times when you want some allow someone to talk more than 5 minutes.
And that is fine because normally we will then make the exception if we
see okay. Whatever. Okay. Yeah. Great. Thank you all. Good morning. All right.
Thank you, Dan.
I hope you will be done before I'm done with Evanston.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So we are back at, okay, let's take it back. I know we jumped sort of because Dan was giving his comment. Last thing, how long have you lived in River Four Circle One? The last comment I think I heard from, and correct, Barb, was it you or someone said we are missing the 15 to 20 years, but we're going to insert it as one of the categories. Okay.
Can I ask, why do we care?
I was going to ask the same thing. Is it important to capture that data?
I mean, I represent somebody who's lived here less than a year. And my views might be very different from somebody who's lived here for 30 years. You know, so when I project, I might not, because I move around a lot, I might not be able to project for as long as I can. You know, I'd say 16 years instead. But somebody who's lived here for 30 years would say as long as I can. So I think those have a relationship to each other, how long you've lived here versus and related to how you project how much longer you'll live here. And those are different demographics of people who make up our residents.
That's going to be a tough one to correlate, Barbara, but I guess I understand that.
I understand it, yeah, but I don't know how you'd statistically analyze it in SPSS. It's way above my pay grade.
You can.
You can.
Even with the four or five answers in each question, you'd have to, that'd be a pretty complex correlation.
I think you could just do like a frequency count, right? Like pull it apart and then it's been a while since I've done stats, but either a ANOVA or a t-test, right?
Yeah, but all that's going to tell you is who falls in what category. It's not going to tell you how it corresponds to the relating question and the time frame that they chose in that question.
You might be able to see. You might be able to stratify in those ways. If there's relationships between those two questions, then you might be able to stratify on a certain grouping and relate it to other things.
I mean, I think given that we're under 10 minutes, I don't know that we have to be quite so stringent about eliminating. It feels to me like it doesn't hurt to leave it in there.
Okay.
All right, let's leave it in there for the test and let's move on to the next one.
Okay.
So one quick question, are we adding
15 to 20?
15, or are we doing 15 plus? It would have to be 16. I mean, we're 16 to 20 and then 21 plus.
Yeah.
You want to do that? Okay.
Yeah. I would just do 15 plus because we're at 25.
Oh. Would it have to be
16?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So like this one could be less than 5 years. This could be 6 to 10. This could be 11 to something like that.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say with all of these questions, we need to make sure our numbers add up, if you will, right? Like our categories, there's no overlapping, that if it's 40, 49, 50 to 50, and similar with these, we can do that and then edit.
Good point, Lydia.
Should I just leave it for now?
Yeah. Just maybe make a note you know, a 5-year increments adjust accordingly.
Okay. All right.
We're deleting the pension question, correct?
Correct.
Yes. And then the next one is, do you know approximately how much it costs per month to live in your current home?
Delete, according to Dan's wife, we delete it.
Yeah, I thought we deleted that one already.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, and then the next two were, okay, we already did druthers. And now Dan suggested as long as I am able for each of these two, meaning how much longer questions, these two questions. Adding in as long as I am able. Is everyone okay with that for each of those? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it makes good sense, but I want to know what we find out from that in doing an analysis of the responses. Mm. It doesn't give us any information.
I'm not sure we get anything more from that, Barbara, do you?
I don't think so.
Well, we can leave it in and see what we get or don't get in the test run. And then revisit elimination.
Well, but if we leave it in and see, like, let's say everybody answers as long as I'm able. What do we know then?
Absolutely nothing.
Also, what do we know when we break it down by these years? What are we trying to find out here?
I'm not sure we need these questions.
I see. What I think what Barbara's saying is, and it might be the catchphrase, yeah, as long as it could be here, versus if you don't insert that, then people are actually trying to project the number of years that they wish to continue or they wish to live. You know what I mean?
In terms of doing policy, that tells us something. It tells us people, you know, the length of time people are committed to. But in terms of doing policy, something like as long as I'm able doesn't help us make arguments for policy.
Right.
Now, I may want to live here another 40 years, but I'm not going to be able to.
So what do people, any additional thoughts, comments?
I still suggest deleting both of these questions.
Okay. I think leaving the questions are good. I just don't know if saying as long as I'm able, I mean, I'm trying to run through, let's say we get responses on this. And so there's a group of people who say less than a year. There's a group of people who say 6 to 10 years, then there's another group that say 11 or more. If you put that along with the kinds of things that they value, doesn't it add more weight to implementing those things in River Forest for the people who are really committed to staying here long? I mean, is that the reasoning here? I'm not sure, but that's the way I'm seeing this question.
Would we
and so then if I had as long as I'm able category, which I think would draw the most responses, because it's one that you don't really have to think through very long, and you just, yeah, I like it here, I want to stay as long as I can, but I don't see the weight that it gives to promoting certain other responses. And these demographics are supposed to give a sense, you know, the weighting based on this kind of stratifying.
Does indefinitely also, is that the same as long as I am able?
Lydia, repeat that.
No, I just was thinking, like, I hear, I think, what Dan's reasoning is about wanting to capture, wanting to capture time, but then also trying to capture, I think, people's maybe realistic thinking about what they're able to do versus what they want to do. But I don't know. Does 11 or more years also capture indefinitely or as long as I can?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What if we just changed it to 11 years or more?
Or we added indefinitely as a category. I don't know.
Barb, what do you think about the indefinitely?
I like that better than as long as I'm able.
What if we did 11 to 15 and then 15 plus? Would that? Because now, I mean, you know, a 42-year-old answer, and it might look at it very differently. Like, you know, my kids are only 7 when I'm 42, and, you know, I might be here another 20 years.
Right.
They get out of college or something like that. You know, I don't know.
And excuse my naivety, but what will we use these answers for? How long do you like to, would you like to live? I mean, this is almost just wishful thinking, isn't it?
In some ways, but I do think it gives us a finger on the pulse of where people are in their futuristic planning.
Okay. Right?
Like if you know you have a housing stock that's X amount of years old, a certain demographic, and they're planning to be here and they want age in their place in place for 15 more years. I think I would imagine the village would even be more focused on creating age friendly realities.
Got it.
Right.
What if we thought about it from the standpoint, if you said, gosh, it jumped out of my head in the agree, strongly disagree. You know, it is important for me to age, or I would, I believe that my housing needs will change as I age. Either people, like, I agree, strongly disagree, you know, to get a gauge of whether people are even thinking intuitively about how my needs might change as I age. Is it on the radar or not? Is that helpful? Because it's a simple question, and it also would capture whether people have, you know, considered it, and then obviously what they've considered, you know, whether they, you know, neutral would mean I never even thought about it. You know, no, I never can, you know, strongly disagree would mean I, you know, I guess maybe that's the same thing, but.
What about instead of I believe
it will, you say something like experiences have shown me,
or I anticipate my needs may change.
My needs will change in my housing for aging, because then you're talking about people who are not just whether they believe it or not, because I think even 40 years probably believe that they're going to change. You know, it's kind of a given, but
how about anticipate?
Might not have had the experiences for it, but then again, like the people who live on both sides of you, Ron, they have had those experiences at 40.
How about anticipate?
I think I want to know if people. I want to know if people are actually experiencing it now. I think that's another way of saying the need for age-friendly policies here. If there's actual experiences of it.
Are we here in this area, this topic?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. We've already gone over this round.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So in the interest of time, how many questions do we have left?
Not many.
Right.
3 or something.
Can we agree on gender, race, and ethnicity?
I can't agree on a dichotomy of gender. I feel like we need another category to make sure we're being inclusive.
So Lydia, what would you
binary?
Do?
Yeah. I think whatever the new standard, the race and ethnicity looks okay.
Okay. Does this question that's highlighted do us any service? It assumes that everyone's planning on moving to some other form of housing here.
In River Forest.
Right.
Which I'm not.
You know, what type of home would you consider moving to?
Yeah.
In River Forest?
Yeah.
Okay. Consider.
But it's that granny flat again. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think what we're going to do is sort of put granny flat / in-law / I guess whatever.
Accessory dwelling unit.
Yeah, accessory dwelling unit.
So right. That, right.
I think that's better language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And can we separate apartment and condominium?
Right.
Okay.
Sarah, you are amazing.
I was going to say, she's puts me to shame. I'd be like, my cursor would still be floating around on question 3.
Yeah.
Want to leave multifamily with apartment or?
Condominium, apartment.
I think apartment. No, we can get rid of multifamily building.
Okay.
Right. Townhouse.
Okay.
Okay. We want to adjust this how long have you lived in River Forest question just to mimic
that's a good
those
idea.
Increments down here at the how much longer would you like to live in your current River Forest home?
Haven't we already asked these things?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Sarah. But put the 15.
We eliminated the question. How long have you lived in River Forest?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that should be gone.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, we've already asked all that.
Okay.
Where?
Wait, hold on. Yeah, did we?
No, I don't think we agreed to get rid of it, right?
No, Sarah's just scrolling. It's no longer yellow, but it's what used to be yellow.
Yeah, she's just cleaning it up.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Other question was this one. Let's see. Reveal what it is. Okay, that was one. We got rid of how long do you plan on staying in River Forest?
Oh. Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
And I can change, if this is what everyone wants, we can change these answer options to match the other.
I would agree.
Your increments. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
We want to talk about the neutral versus, I don't know.
I was going to ask that. Yeah, that was the other lingering issue is, Dan suggested we have an I don't know category, or do we want to define neutral or I don't know or some?
I think neutral means that I don't know, that I'm indifferent.
Okay.
I think it does too, but.
And I have no problem with saying, you know, if you want to explain the, that.
Instead of either of those, why don't we just say no opinion?
In standardized survey language, it's either because it's disagree to agree, then neutral would be neither agree or disagree.
Oh, so no opinion doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like, if you just look at continuity and consistency of language, if you're in a Likert with agreement, that's how they capture it.
No, I was just thinking about a survey I did today, again, for the 9/11 Commission. And one of the options was, I never thought about it. But I'm fine with whatever.
If we put I never thought about it in here, we're going to get a whole lot of I never thought about it.
That's what I was afraid of, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can word a language on how to use the neutral category to satisfy Dan, then, you know, I would say that, you know, answer to the best of your ability, your agreement or disagreement. If you are unsure, do not know, then choose neutral. Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or not applicable. There were a couple of them that could have taken a non-applicable, and I think neutral.
Yeah.
Okay. And maybe what we do is we put a footnote on the neutral category at the very top and then have that explanation. Okay.
And then I think Barbara had suggested to change totally disagree and totally agree to strongly. Yeah,
correct. So every reference to totally, it will be inserted, deleted and insert strongly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that was a good catch, Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
I can't ever give a totally answer. I learned like in first grade, never put always.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Look at her.
Oh, wow. Okay. Excellent.
Can you slow down a little bit, Sarah? There's one question that I wanted to look at. Wait. Do you remember what category it was in? Go up a little bit. I'll have to look and let you know.
So are we almost done with the survey?
I think so. I think Barb.
I think we are.
Yeah, I think Barbara might be asking a question and we can't hear her, but she's asking Sarah to move
down a little bit more, Sarah.
Down, yeah.
One question. Keep going.
She wants to talk about one question.
No, I can't see it now. Okay. No, I can't see what I don't remember now.
Okay. All right.
I found it really easy to answer and fast, just like Dan and his wife.
I think that's exactly what we want.
Yeah.
You've got a survey like this that's clear and it can be answered in under 10 minutes. we're going to get a good sample.
Okay, good, good. Okay, then. If everyone's okay, at least Sarah will clean it up and then send it around to everybody. Do we want to talk about, and probably as part of this, do people feel comfortable where we're at? Do we want to look at it one more time and then say, Sarah, it has everything we wanted that talked about? And then do we want to come up with a sample, you know, testing, so to speak, of, and any suggestions what to do in terms of who we would test it with?
So yes, I think we're ready to move forward with a test.
Okay.
And I think the Arbor West neighbors would be very amenable to being a test group for this.
Okay.
I've already spoken with Chris Harvey about that.
Okay.
So that's 27 people, not a huge group. Wait, I agree.
Are they all from River Forest?
River Forest, for the most part, there are four in Oak Park.
I don't think we want anybody from Oak Park. Don't we want to just keep our sample from River Forest?
They are people of the same demographic.
But this is really specific to River Forest.
Oh, and Barb, I guess, and not to, what we're talking about is just to test to see how.
Yeah, but I agree with Barb from the standpoint that all these questions are relational to River Forest.
Okay.
Someone from Galewood would go, I don't care about River Forest services.
Right.
I don't want to live in River Forest. I don't live in, you know what I mean? Okay. So again, for validity, I think it should just be people 40 and older randomly in River Forest. I think Arbor West is a great idea. I think we can also put something out through some of our contacts at Celebrating Seniors. We've got some pretty extensive, you know, lists of people. Lydia, what about Pam Mon and
Carla?
Yeah, I think probably going through Carla. Like if we,
through Carla, but you know, specific to River Forest.
I think Betsy Kelly might actually be really helpful.
I think that's true.
Right.
Much
better
idea. Does
anybody have any kind of connections with churches or other religious organizations who might?
I know, you know, St. Giles has, well, that's Oak Park. So I'm thinking about populations that have pretty good senior groups in them. St. Giles does. I don't know where St. Luke is at, but you know, we could reach out. How big of a sample do we want? And how long do we want to put it out there? Is like, if we could get this done and get it something in a form where it could be a paper sample, is that what we'd be talking about? Where we as members would try to distribute it and then be responsible for collecting whatever we could, turning it into Sarah, and then we could have, right. I think that's when an in-person meeting is going to be really important for us to be able to look at it.
Right.
And be able to see. I mean,
we do that in 4 weeks?
People together? Could we like put out a call and like just say, you know, we're having a pizza party and survey taking and just get people and collect them right there and not even think about the whole distribution and return, just to test it.
That's it.
Do that at three different places or something.
Yeah, that's people. What I would do. And then,
we have to get people that can physically get there.
Yeah, we have to have a place. We have to have funding for it. We have to advertise it, conduct the event.
I mean, I think that the whole point of it is not, like, we're not trying to, like, test the validity of the survey, right? Like, I think we just want to do a cognitive sort of, when you take this, does this make sense? Do these words speak to you? Mm-hmm. And that's why I think a smaller number where, I mean, I'd be fine sitting with somebody and watching them take it and then debriefing with them afterwards. Like, I think that might be a better gauge of like how well this sits with people if they can reflect out loud to us.
How big of a sample do you want?
I don't know. If we each talked, what do you think, Barbara?
Five people each.
Five people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And if you could get more than five people, that's great.
Right? Yeah.
Right. I can do that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if we can turn this around, then I think I could have my, you know, results back within 3 weeks.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, me too.
I think so too. So, Sarah,
do you want to do a paper one first?
Paper, you mean clean up this version, do a document like this that's not professional, but meaning we'll have one document that we can run off individually for ourselves and then give it to, you know, at least five people and get the results and feedback, right?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
Lydia, what should the minimum font size be?
Oh, good question.
I can double check, but I feel like probably 14.
I'm with you.
I was
going to
say 12 or 14 in like Arial.
Mm-hmm. Like we need a, I'll look.
No sans serif.
Yeah. Like, you know, it needs to be, and then, yeah, we can, I'll double check like what the current.
Cause it'll end up being two or three pages when you blow it up a little bigger, but it'll be friendly. Yeah.
And it should
sometimes
be,
14 can be like two friendlies though. Then it's like where you get the large print books and
12,
you feel like
12 or
this 14. Isn't me. I'd say 12.
Well, I think it'll depend on our font too, right? The size of the font depends on the type of font.
Okay.
One suggestion I would have is we can put at the top of the survey, like this should take you about 10 minutes just so that when people look mm-hmm. at it, it'll be like 50 questions. It's not too overwhelming.
Okay.
I agree with you, but I would rephrase it so I would say it will take you less than 10 minutes.
Well, Ron, would people feel if they're taking the 10 minutes, they'll feel like they're doing something wrong or,
about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I would say about 10 minutes. I mean,
we estimate this would take approximately,
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It looks like Arial 14 is a popular choice of font size.
Okay.
For aging eyes.
And then I think in where you have the stuff that's bolding, like housing, strongly disagree, those don't need to be 14. Those could be probably 11, you know, again, for spacing in those boxes. And then it's repetitive. So people will, once they've read it.
So I just checked that in the emergency management world, when we send out bulletins, we're using 14 Arial.
Okay. And guys, should this be portrait or landscaped?
Portrait.
Portrait? Okay.
Portrait. Yeah, portrait.
Okay.
So, Rez, what I'm thinking, just to get the official action, we could have someone move and someone second, move to approve the committee survey as amended for the purposes of testing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I will certainly move that.
Okay. I will second it.
Second. Okay, then. Now a roll call. Sarah, when you're ready.
Okay.
We already got one. Go ahead, Sarah. I'm sorry.
Nope, sorry. Ron Sherman.
Approve.
Dan Lauber has left the meeting. Debbie Frederick.
Approve.
Jim Flanagan.
Approve.
Lydia Manning.
Approve.
Barbara Merle.
Approve.
Helen Kwan.
Approve.
And Chairperson Boskin.
Approve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh my God, what a huge moment in our committee's life.
Yay. Okay.
Let's strike while the iron is hot. What else can we get done?
Okay.
1 year. Yeah, 1 year.
And so
I am new to this committee, and I just want to say you are a great group to work with.
Okay. Good work. Thank you, Helen. We got two other options. The one is, and maybe it's a little premature, but Sarah drafted a memo with distribution options for the committee survey. Once we get to that point, she made some suggestions we've done with other surveys in the village of how to distribute the survey. There's a memo there. And we can talk about that. I do, though, also we have these draft rules because I think as Jim touched upon earlier is a reference to maybe when we get the results at the next meeting, we would hold it in person. I didn't address it there, but I'm addressing it now. But all of these future meetings now are going to have to be in person.
Right.
The governor's disaster proclamation ends on July the 24th. That was allowing all the Zoom meetings to take place. He already said that it's going to end. He's not going to issue another disaster proclamation. So July the 20th will be the last Zoom meeting as we currently are conducting. That means the old meeting acts apply, which means the quorum. We have to have an in-person quorum to hold a meeting. There may be exceptions so basically five of us have to be in person at the village for the meeting. Any of the other three can only be absent if they're either away for business for their work, away handling business for the committee, and or if they're ill, family emergency. Did I get that correct, Sarah?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. And yeah,
so essentially you can't be traveling for vacation is not a permissible option or because you just didn't want to come in person.
Correct. And so when you have one of the exceptions, you submit that to, I would say, give it to Sarah. Sarah then at the next meeting will have to raise the issue. For example, Russ Vasquez, he's out sick on a family emergency. He wants to participate either audio or visually. And then the board will have to, the board who's in person will have to take a vote motion to accept his exception and for the reasons he stated. And then someone seconds, and then the quorum, and there has to be majority vote to allow for that board member to participate under that reason. And that would be, and it would happen, and that would be the process to allow someone to communicate or chime in either through the phone and or, and I'm not even sure if we're going to have the ability, because the village hasn't decided this either. Ultimately, we're going to do hybrid meetings, even for our regular board meetings, because there's been some discussion and request from the public that they, you know, everyone got used to Zoom now. And, you know, there's discussion whether you can get more public participation with allowing the public to Zoom in versus even though the board is in person, et cetera. So we're going to go through those discussions, but this is where we're going through. So the next meeting will be in person in the village. So we're prepared with that. I'm hoping if there is going to be an exception, it has to fit under one of those three that we mentioned.
Rez, is this the time for me to introduce some new business?
Yeah, actually, I was going to invite you because I know you had, we're going to suggest it. So it's part of the rules, is part of the reason why we're introducing the rules. But then in addition, Ron wanted to throw out another suggestion as it relates to our future meetings.
So if we're going to do in-person meetings, I'd like to propose that we do them at 7:30 a.m. in the community room at Village Hall.
Okay. And I don't know how, what other committee members, what do you think about, you know, early meeting or...
I don't have a problem with an early meeting.
Yeah, we would be looking at seven. I think Ron's suggesting 7:30. And if that looks good, let me, you know, Jim, you said no problem. Lydia, it looks like you're saying okay. Deb, Deborah, mm-hmm. you okay?
Yeah.
Okay, Barbara.
I'd probably prefer 8, but I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that would be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Helen, are you on? Do you hear?
I'm with Barbara. I would prefer 8 o'clock.
Okay, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay. And would it still be on the same Wednesday? Okay. Okay. The only concern I have is that if there are in-person meetings, I'm probably going to have a problem with on Wednesday unless we shift it to another day. Because usually I have a meeting at my work at about 9:30. So yeah. that would cause a problem for me unless I'm allowed to Zoom in. But
we could shift the day. And yeah. We didn't ask Sarah if it's okay with her.
Oh my God, Sarah, that's right. No, maybe I did hear someone trying to say something. Maybe that was Sarah.
It's not for that reason. My only concern is since Dan has dropped off.
Yes, I was going to.
Else, I just want to make sure that he is comfortable with it too.
Okay.
What I could do is send out some kind of a doodle poll and give you a few different options.
Okay.
Again, you know, because it is at if 8 o'clock is an
right
is a consideration, then just a reminder, it would need to be in person. So if people have other obligations, they could end up being potentially shorter meetings, or, you know, some people might have to leave, but that's up to the committee ultimately.
Yeah. And so that was the only other thing. And the other option, and Ron, I don't know, you asked about it too. Should it, another alternative would be, do we want to start earlier than 7 o'clock, and Ron, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but he suggested maybe 6 p.m. instead of a 7 p.m. on a Wednesday.
I could do that. Yeah.
Okay. So.
I could do that.
Yeah, so, that was my fallback, but I still prefer the early morning.
Okay. So Ron, what if we do this? It looks like most people will be amenable to doing an 8 o'clock. Let's start with that.
Yeah.
And then, and or a 6 o'clock start time, and see, and I would ask that when Sarah sends out the doodle poll, that we look at, for example, if you do have, and I don't know, Sarah, is there any way that when you do the doodle, when you offer the 8 o'clock in the morning versus 6 p.m. on a Wednesday, that people can maybe list their name and then put a P for preference on the one they prefer, or whatever code you think, so that we know, you know, because if I can do both, I would probably want some mechanism to say, but this is my first choice, but I can do the other one too if I have.
Yeah, I do think that that's an option. I will have to check the community room.
Correct, absolutely.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest we need to check the community room availability. Correct. And Rez, if you've got a Wednesday morning meeting, Wednesday are not sacred to me.
Okay.
And I don't know if they are to anybody else.
So what we could do is this, okay? I could, for example, I just know off the top of the bat that Wednesday morning wouldn't work for me, but I can make some other of the other weekdays available as well, and we can list. And if you know for sure there's a particular weekday that an 8 o'clock meeting will not work for you, then maybe what you could do is send Sarah these weekdays I cannot do an 8 o'clock, because it looks like the Wednesday evening, the only option we'll look at the evening about Wednesday will still be the second Wednesday, except we're looking at just moving that up to 6 o'clock. The morning is the one that we're looking at different options from Monday through Friday, excluding Wednesday for now.
Yeah, like for instance, Tuesday morning is still the adjudicate traffic adjudications at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Right. I don't think that's changed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then what we'll do then is Sarah will send out a doodle, and she's also going to look at the community room and what options we have for 8 o'clock during the week.
Or what options we have to use the conference room on the second floor.
Sarah, will that accommodate all of us if we were all there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
It would. My only concern with that is that
open meeting.
That's staff only conference room.
Oh, okay.
So
maybe tied up in the morning.
It would probably actually be easier to secure the community room for a meeting. And all the recording equipment's down here, so it would.
Okay. I would make it easier.
Okay.
All right. What I'm saying then, Sarah will come up with a doodle that will offer whatever available during the week, except Wednesdays, at 8 o'clock. And then you can just mark each one which you're available. Mark each one that you're available. And then she'll pick one of the days that if we can all agree on during the week in the morning at 8 o'clock, then we'll do that then, it looks like. So, and again, put a preference, but it sounds like I'm sensing that everyone has a preference for the 8 o'clock in the morning if we can get it. Okay. All right. Sounds good.
So, Rez, if we could just go back, we do need a motion and a second and then a vote on the committee rules if we're finished discussing those.
Yes. And
can I ask a question about those before we?
Yes.
Where it talks about the quorum being 5, what if the number of committee members changes? Shouldn't the language be a representative majority? It could even say if it had, 8 members, it requires 5. If it's 7, it requires 4. Because that is a very real reality, right? If it didn't have a certain number of members, then...
Jim, the only reason I would say then is right now our charter specifically lists the number of 8 as the committee members. Okay. So because it does, even if someone was to resign and we don't fill it, the quorum will still be based on the 8 committee based on the charter. Now, if, for example, we were to downsize and agree, okay, maybe 8 is no longer necessary, we only need 7. When we make that change on the charter, then we would make the change in the rule. Okay, but you're saying you prefer to have a little more generic without specifying the number?
Yeah,
based
on your response, I understand why
it's worded
that way. I just wanted to make, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Obviously, it becomes an issue if one or two people drop off the committee before that rule gets changed.
Right, right.
Then you need, unanimous decisions.
Correct.
Or we're stuck.
Correct. And what it means, though, is a quorum is you need, we would still need 5 people in person to even hold a meeting. So let's assume we currently have 8 committee members and only 5 show up to the meeting, a vote would be a majority of those 5. So
a majority of those.
It's 5. A majority of the 5, but you need 5
okay.
to conduct the meeting.
All right.
Okay. So that's how that would work. Okay. So, but now that now that we're talking about it too, there is, one, as I told Dan, the thing that, and I'll explain a little more, the other changes, that that Dan, I was telling him, so that's why number four, Dan rephrased to the majority of the members constitute a quorum, but it's really five because of the charter, the way it's drafted, there are eight members. The only other question I had, if you heard Dan, is the very last under rules for public comment, number four, Dan inserted no less than 5 minutes. I'm of the opposite opinion of saying no more than 5 minutes. Because if people come and talk, no less than five, they could be a half an hour, they could be an hour. And believe you me, that's rare, but there are people who love to talk. And
we'll get somebody from the deer committee who wants to talk about aging deer.
Probably. And again, the other problem is that, people, and so I'm saying no more. The reason we said allotted 5 minutes, I was fine with my original language. If you want, as a compromise to Dan, I was just saying no more than 5 minutes, or we can just leave it the way it was originally written, which is shall be allotted 5 minutes. But that doesn't mean they have to take 5 minutes. It just means they have up to 5 minutes. But if Dan was feeling it wasn't that clear, I'm fine saying no more than 5 minutes.
And I'm fine with that.
Okay.
More than 5 minutes.
Okay. So
yeah, me too.
Okay. So we're okay with that. So when we're moving to approve these rules, and by the way, was everyone else fine with the other changes Dan proposed?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I was okay with that. I'm just saying number four to be kept the way it was written. Since the charter read, and even Dan acknowledged, I can't remember if the number of committee were set by resolution, and it was. So that's why he said then goes, he would go back. So keep original language on number four under general rules, and then keep for number four under rules for public comment, it would read no more than 5 minutes. And the other changes that Dan put in, I'm okay with. So if everyone is in agreement, then what I'll ask is I'll ask a motion to adopt the rules policy as amended by Dan, except we would keep the original language under general rules number four, and for rules for public comment number four, it would read no more than 5 minutes.
So moved.
Okay, so Lydia moves. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. If there's no further questions or comments or modifications, good. Then I'll ask Sarah then to take the roll.
Okay, Ron Sherman.
Approved.
Dan Lauber has left the meeting. Debbie Frederick.
Approve.
Jim Flanagan.
Approve.
Lydia Manning.
I approve.
And Barbara Merle also has left the meeting. Helen Kwan.
Approve.
And Chairperson Vasquez.
Approve. Okay. Oh, and the other thing that I started talking about earlier was the memo that Sarah inserted. We don't have to talk about it, but it was on the agenda if we want to. The distribution options for committee survey, I just asked Sarah to put it in the agenda so we at least can start thinking about it. And I don't know if anybody has some thoughts. If not, we can talk about it at the next meeting. If people prefer, they can digest this and then think about it. Basically, when we finalize the survey, what is the, these are distribution methods that we've used in the past with other commissions or whatever in terms of the surveys we've done with them. It's not restricted to this, but I'm just sharing so everyone can start thinking about it. This is what we've done in the past. And if there's other alternate ideas, we'll welcome them as well. So,
Rez, if I may, I just really quickly, I did put a couple questions into SurveyMonkey just to make sure that would be a viable option.
Oh, okay.
How it shows up. So you can do the, you can put the topics in and then have the questions and, you know, we can change that. But so it would be a fine option.
How do we just make sure that somebody doesn't take the survey twice?
There is a way to restrict the device. The problem with that is if there's like one device in a household and more than one person wants to take it.
I'd worry more about like I took it online and then I was at this library meeting and I did it on paper.
Jim, there's really no way to prevent that. If you offer the two options, there's no way to stop it.
Can you do
even with paper, you're right.
Yeah, I think you're right. With paper, you wouldn't. I know by email, and I've done this where I take these CLE classes that I have to for a lawyer, and then when they always ask for a survey to be completed, and it's been a Survey Monkey.
Right.
And so I've even tried a couple times when I take the Survey Monkey. Once I fill it, I try taking it again, it will not let me. I would have to change my email address.
Now, and that's the way that the Village's Survey Monkey account is, because I set that up.
Okay.
And yeah, once you take it, it's done.
Yeah.
You can change that setting, but it's not, you don't have to.
Okay.
And another reason to use Survey Monkey is just for the ones that are filled out on paper. Someone can just go in and tabulate them in the in SurveyMonkey so that all the surveys are in the same spot. So that's another advantage there. Alternatively, we would need another way to.
Barbara, is that you speaking? Barbara, was that you?
No.
Oh.
Who was that?
That was me, Sarah.
Oh, Sarah, yeah. No, you're exactly right. We could take the paper copies and enter them ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And each one would be an individual entry.
Alternatively, we would just need another place to put all of the data.
Yeah. Yeah, I can help with that.
Okay. Jim, are you concerned that, I guess I'm not saying it's an invalid concern, that there's going to be like a Russ Vasquez who's going to fill 10 of them out?
You know, no, it's not a big concern. I just wondered, you know, if as it gets out there, like Ron said, though, somebody could get one at the Jewel and at the library and turn them both in and you wouldn't know either.
Yeah.
So there's kind of no way unless, you know, again, it was only a paper survey and they were numerically numbered.
Right.
Then, somebody could get a hold of one and still fill it out. So, you know, it was a thought. I also don't think that there, you know, people are, it's that survey again. I got to take it again. Like
And Jim and Liddy, for the group here, do you think that if people were asked to put their name on, that they wouldn't take the survey or we would lose the number of people taking the survey?
I think when you ask people about, finances, money.
Yeah.
People get funny, right?
Yeah.
So I just think a note is better.
Okay.
And then it also protects us. Like, I don't know that we want the liability of having respondent IDs.
Right. Right.
Not that there's a huge liability, but it just makes me more comfortable when it's de-identified.
Correct.
So, Rez, there's a whole issue of PII, personally identifiable information.
Okay.
We don't want to go there.
Right, right. I totally agree. Okay. Right, and that's the risk we take in these surveys is that, if someone fills out more than one, I'm always thinking that really, are that many people going to be filling out multiple, intentionally filling out multiple?
Right. Yeah. Only Jim Flanagan would do that.
I'm over 50 too. Yeah. Not time on my hands.
Now that he knows that he can, right?
Yeah. He okay. It with a free parking sticker, there might be a influx of.
Oh, that's yeah. That, you know what?
Other than that, I think you don't have to worry about over.
Yeah.
Completion.
Okay.
Also, yeah. Then the SurveyMonkey's just—I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that that was an option.
Okay.
But that's
it's an excellent one, Sarah.
Okay. Well, and I could be wrong, but I think that Dan might want to weigh in on this conversation.
Oh yeah, boy, I know what he's going to say, but but you know what? I received, now that I think of it, Lydia, I don't know your comment right now. After this, I'm gonna send the group. Well, I'll send it to Sarah to send to the group. There was an individual in their last. Mark Lesoff, most of you know, he's coming up with age-friendly neighborhood collaborative, which is a smaller version of the Mayor's Caucus collaborative. But at the last meeting, there was a person who used to work with the Oak Park Township, and she came up with some good demographic information relating to our seniors for Oak Park, River Forest, Forest Park, Maywood, or something. So,
Sandy Pastor.
Who?
Sandy Pastor.
Oh my God, yeah. You know her. Okay, great. Okay, did you get
it? I was on the call and I remember her.
Oh, you did? Okay, see, I did not remember. See, yeah. That's why Lydia's much younger than I am. That's right. Did you get a copy of that information?
I don't know. I can go back and look in emails, but if not, I could easily send an email to Mark and Sandy and
Jim. Oh, okay. If not, I will do that. But I think Mark may have sent me that information. And if that's the case, that's what I was talking about. I'm going to give it to Sarah. Yes. And Sarah can distribute our committee. And I thought it was interesting because the reason that it came to, I recalled it, is that there was information in the River Forest out of Arnold, the villages, River Forest, a lot of our seniors are technology oriented. And so we have a higher number of our seniors who are, you know, love our technology and have use our technology, or use technology, I should say.
And I have it in my email. I'm happy to forward it to Sarah and copy you.
Okay, great. Okay, terrific. All right. So that's good. I think people can look at that. And I thought even Dan might appreciate that information in there because it provides some demographic stuff. Now, you know, I know it's not going to be as official as Dan would like regarding, you know, the experts and consultants. And I'm not trying to disagree with that, but that process is probably going to take a lot longer as well if we were to send out a survey, the one we have. So. It may not be as perfect as Dan would like, but I think we would get at least a good sense of information, and I think consistent information based on even what I think, Lydia, you already collected from the other public bodies in general and from your experiences with Concordia and your students that you have, and Jim, you looked at that too, but you would probably see some consistency with the information we already have versus the information we'll get here. Okay. All right.
So Rez, if I may, we are on my to-dos. So I will go through and just clean this up.
Yeah.
And remove the questions that the committee removed, and then try to format everything the way we're looking for. And then what I can do, I mean, if everybody wants, I'm happy to print the 5 copies for everyone for you to take and distribute wherever, or you know, if you want to print them at home, something like that.
Yeah.
Can we put something on there, Sarah, that says sample and then has a River Forest logo on it, so people realize that it's.
Yeah, put it at the very top, and then maybe at a header for each of the pages if it's going to be more than one. sample draft. So, good suggestion, Jim. Any other suggestions once we get, you know, Sarah putting it together? Okay. All right. And then, so that's one answer for you, Sarah. Do you have other questions?
I don't think so. That's something I should be able to have that ready by the end of the week.
Okay.
What I can do is I'll send a follow-up email maybe tomorrow morning, just so everybody knows what to expect.
Okay.
People dropped off at different times.
Sure.
And then the expectation for the next meeting then is that we'll be in person and everybody will bring those completed surveys.
Well, do we want to, and this is a question, do we want to have them completed? Because I heard some people say we can get it in 3 weeks, at least we were shooting for, which would be a week before the next meeting. And so this is the question, should we, if we think we can do it in 3 weeks, can we submit them to Sarah and then she can collect them and then send them out or to the whole group?
Well, we also need to decide when our next meeting is.
Oh, that is actually a very good question. I'm still thinking it's there Wednesday, but you're right. That is so hold that thought. But Sarah, one of the other to-dos is besides putting this survey together, the draft, also you're going to send out the doodle for people after you look at the committee meeting schedule at the village, and then see what the options are for the doodle to go out to people, for people to please try to complete within a day or two at most, if that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
That, okay, we've got this completed survey. I've got my 5 copies. I distributed it to the first person. I feel like we should all, that we're trying to capture the same thing. And I would say it's right. Like, how long did it take you to take it? Was it understandable? Did you have a problem with any particular questions or set of questions or any specific comments that you want to make? And okay. Then we capture that so that we have feedback to bring, not just a completed survey, but okay. Someone that says, oh, you know, again, it's consistently less than 10 minutes. It was understandable. People seem to have a problem with this granny flat language, whatever.
Okay.
Overall comments was, how come you didn't ask about affordability?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
You know what I mean?
So no, that's perfect.
And then hopefully maybe there's some correlation in there about what people thought.
And Jim, hold that thought right now. Sarah, did you get Jim's questions?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I wrote them down.
Good. I was going to say then, if Sarah was to surprise me and say she didn't get them, I was going to ask you, Jim, if you can send your questions over to Sarah.
Okay.
And then
Jim, I think you should still send them to Sarah.
Okay.
Okay, that's I'll fine. Do that. I'm happy to do that. I'll do it right away. Okay.
Sarah, I'll send you a link. There's also the CDC puts out a cognitive testing interview guide, which is essentially what we're doing with the survey. We're making
okay.
Hangs together and there's some questions that might be useful there too.
Okay. Is it a long list of questions, Lydia? No? Oh, you're muted, Lydia.
Not long at all. It's helpful.
Oh, okay.
Some types of questions.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. Okay, good advice, good suggestions. And so, Sarah, any other questions that we left out that we can answer for you? And then, you're okay?
So, what I can do is send out the doodle poll tomorrow morning.
Okay.
I'll be able to do that a lot faster. And then, by the end of the week, I'll get you guys the... cleaned up survey and then with some additional just instructions from the committee.
Okay. And once we define what that meeting is, maybe just generally now, so while we're here, if there's any way whatever the next meeting is, when the final date is, if we can submit it, whatever surveys you do have, let's say you have 3 out of the 5, for example, hypothetically, then maybe you can turn those over to Sarah. And if you get the other two by the meeting, bring those to the meeting. But at least we'll try to get as many as we can for Sarah so that she can try to incorporate it as part of the board packet. And then we could try to review those before the meeting. And then at the meeting, just bring the ones you still brought with you or have.
Rez, are we looking for the completed surveys or the answers to the questions Jim offered?
Both.
Both. Yeah, I thought both. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. All right, good. Any other questions or suggestions? And this is for the full committee.
Nope.
No? Well, good. I'm glad. Really good meeting, guys. I'm glad we were all here. And so then let's, if there are no further business, then before I do that, I want to suggest that if anybody comes up with any questions, whatever, send them to Sarah. Sarah will then distribute it to our group if we need to, or at least prep us up for the next meeting. In the meantime, though, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Yeah.
I'll motion to adjourn.
Okay. You have a second.
I'll second.
Okay. Roll call, Sarah, please.
Ron Sherman.
Approved.
Dan Lauber is absent. Debbie Frederick.
Yes.
Jim Flanagan.
Approved.
Lydia Manning.
Approved.
Barbara Merle. Oh, she's absent. Helen Kwan.
Approved.
And Chairperson Boskett.
Approve. Great. Okay. Thank you all and good night.
Good night.